Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Monica, I love the matchups in this finals. Like, the more I'm looking at them, the more I'm just saying to myself, like if and you really want there to be as close to full health as possible, we'll see where Giannis is. I mean, there are a couple of days. You know, he has missed a couple of games. You hope that he can at least go at some percentage to be present. They certainly need him, of course, but it just makes the story better that he is available. And the best part is that the MRI on that knee was no ligament damage, which blew my mind when you see that injury.
Yes, because that bad boy looked bad.
Yeah.
But hyperextensions can be tricky in terms of your recovery time.
Well, look at Embiid. Embiid was able to come back from that, even though how ugly that one looked as well. And shout out to yoga and Pilates.
Yoga, Pilates, lots of water. CMOS, shout out to Bart.
CMOS.
Take your CMOS.
But that is how you get through those types of, obviously, injuries, is to have that kind of stability. But no, I mean, I'm just looking at it, and the matchups, you know, certainly are really cool. So, you know, tomorrow we'll spend a little more time doing the whole, you know, head-to-head, deep dive into the basketball side of things, of course, on it. But as I'm looking around, the main characters, of course, Chris Paul and what he's been for the Suns, while Devin Booker is that trending up young star that is letting the world know, this is who I am and this is where I'm going. And he's a fun player to watch. And then, of course, there's Giannis, who we've gotten over the years, who keeps running into that wall, finally gets over to the finals. And now, will the injury hold him back from winning that championship, or will he be able to overcome it with the supporting cast of a Chris Middleton? But before we get into that, we have Vince Carter going to join us here in about 10 minutes. I do want to read you a tweet. As we've been discussing a lot of things today, a plethora of things today, as the Bart tweeter. Scott would say. And Vanessa tweeted at us saying that she loved your input on Zach Wilson's mom's social media, as we talked about in the previous hour. Zach Wilson is reportedly kind of, or not reportedly, in fact, his mom did say this, has asked her to, you know, like, dial it down on social media. Don't be so expressive on some things that might cause some media attention that then he has to answer and deal with. He is in the largest media market in the world. And she just basically said, no, I'm going to keep doing me. And so I just kind of said, you reach a point as a parent where you might feel like, if he's asking me this, it ain't about me anymore. It's about him. And maybe I should make sure that I don't have anything out there that then he's got to deal with, on top of the fact that he's got to be a great quarterback for the Jets. But Vanessa said that she liked your perspective. She added this: great perspective about women losing their identity and motherhood. I hear that a lot amongst my friends who are mothers as well. I don't know if this is an identity thing.
Your step here.
I don't know if it is.
Also,
it's one thing to just have an Instagram account where you're just talking about stuff. Another thing to start getting passionate about certain takes.
Time out. Okay, yes. But you also said Vanessa like some person on Twitter. But this is Vanessa Moore, my teammate from Georgetown. Shout out to my boo. Hey, Soup. Good morning, love.
I didn't want to.
I know, sorry. But when I looked at it, I was like, oh, this is my Vanessa. Okay. All right, so it's interesting, huh, because you have to be mindful of your platform, right? And I think you said it. If she chooses to use her space to dive into topics that can be considered a bit incendiary, you can't be naive about what comes with that.
Of course.
So there probably is a line here where she gets to embrace this new space that she has. And if she really believes she's doing God's work in terms of inspiring other women.
Well, that's different. You want to inspire people.
Right. But great. So then we need to have a list of topics. Remember, now with family, we don't keep it a buck. We keep it 125. Mom, if we're going to do this, here's the list. The no-go zone is right here. We're not doing these topics, okay?
Do not discuss
Just know, right? Like, because if it's about Zach being able to come to this city and focus under all of this scrutiny and be the best football player that he can be, assuming that she is Team Zach, yes, as a mom and a separate identity, she's got to find the middle ground. That's all.
That's it. Right. That, because you just know, look, you know, the New York Post, the Daily News, like all these other websites and blogs and everything else are going to use this stuff as content and then bring it to him and have him to answer. And he's just like, you're asking me about this. Mm-hmm. I got to worry about how I'm going to, you know, go up against the Rams defense. And you're asking me this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of stuff I think for him it's unnecessary. So I wanted to know what the listeners think. 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Wake up out of your cookout coma and call us.
Should
please.
Mrs. Wilson dial it back? Or does she have every right to just use her social media the way she wants and her son just has to deal with it? Meanwhile, as we were mentioning, we do have a finals matchup. And there's something Jrue Holiday said about the Bucks that really caught my attention. And it's about what they're made up of. It normally has been, when you're a two-time MVP, it's Giannis's team. But is it anymore? Because Chris Middleton was the guy that did close the deal a lot of times against the Nets, mm-hmm. and certainly against the Hawks in helping them get to the finals while Giannis was injured. So listen to how Jrue Holiday kind of describes these two players and what they mean to the team.
Chris is the heart of this team. I feel like Giannis is the soul of this team. And without them, man, we really wouldn't be here.
No, they certainly wouldn't. But Chris being the heart, Giannis being the soul, I find that to be the best way to explain it. Some people want to say Batman and Robin. You know, some people want to say Giannis is the opener, but Middleton is the closer. I think heart and soul is the best way to put it. Giannis does really represent the soul of the Bucks and what they are in his era since they drafted him. This player that has developed before our eyes has become a great player. Like the Bucks became a great team that has had great regular season success, that has had some heartache on their way, and now have a chance to win a championship. And you're sort of feeling that emotion for them because of the journey they've been on. But when you think about the heart, who's going to get it done in crunch time? Who's going to make the biggest plays when it matters most? Middleton is the guy you see they go to get the buckets when they need them.
But even that has been an evolution. Because Legg said it last week on the show, Tim Legler, he said that the absence of Giannis forces Coach Bud to be a little bit more creative in the clutch. Now, they didn't necessarily run up on a buzzer beater game since Giannis has been out, but the default of give the ball to our two-time MVP and Defensive Player of the Year and get out of the way is no longer an option.
Well, you don't have that option because he's not that guy.
But that's the part.
Most guys, like Kevin Durant, you give him the ball and get out of the way. You can't do that with Giannis.
Right. He's not that guy. On paper, if you just were to go off of accolades and the guy that is the engine of this squad, the undoubted leader in terms of energy and intensity, you might think it is. But when you really get into the basketball, X's and O's, he's not that guy because his skill set, quite honestly, is limited. He just has the ability to overpower defenders.
This guy's won two MVPs.
It is
and
wild.
Yet we talk about how he has a limited skill set.
But he does. He just does what he does so well.
Can you think of another MVP that we have had in the history of the NBA where you would say that about? Where, you know, like he puts up big stats, his team wins, but he's limited.
But
Shaq, people say that about. Shaq was another guy who couldn't hit free throws, but it wasn't to an embarrassing level. I never felt like he was where crowds were counting and mocking Giannis at Atlanta to a point where I was embarrassed for him.
But
this guy's MVP and they're mocking him.
But I think you got to get into the words here, if I may tap into my English degree. Love the whole English class. Limited and elite at their position to me are different things. When I think of Shaq, he was elite at his position.
Dominant, right?
Like nobody could touch that. But you also are not putting Shaq on a three-point line. And that's not even what we were doing in Shaq's heyday in terms of that position.
Yeah.
For Jan, I think limited comes into play because Giannis does not camp out in the paint. And now some of that is the byproduct of today's game. But every time he go to take a three, what does he hit? 2 out of 10?
It looks like Elaine from Seinfeld 10, dancing.
Maybe?
I got to be honest.
Then we're reminded, oh, yeah. Or every time he gives me a turnaround fadeaway jumper being guarded by one-legged James Harden or Trae Young for that matter, I see the limitations. What are we doing?
Well, let's ask Vince Carter. Let's bring him right in. If anybody would know, it certainly is him, our ESPN NBA analyst, joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Vince, good morning. So I don't know.
Good morning,
guys.
How you doing?
Good. So you heard some of that. I mean, it's not to be. You hesitate so much to sound like you're being disrespectful, right? The guy did win two MVPs. The guy has, you know, put up unbelievable numbers. He's had a tremendous, you know, career. But yet, when I watch him, I just think about how we have this guy who's at that level when it comes to all the trophies on his trophy case. And yet, can you think of another player at that level that yet has such limitations to his game?
When Marcus said that, I was sitting here thinking, I was like, man, who could I pick? Or who? I couldn't think of anybody like that. But I say this about Giannis. When Giannis is aggressive and downhill, mm-hmm. there's not many that can stop him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he limits himself because he settles for jump shots sometimes. But think about it. As players, and Monica, I think you can attest to this. As players, when you're working on the next facet of your game, for him, the jump shot outside of the paint, the three-point shot. He's always hearing people talk about he needs to develop a shot. Well, at some point, you have to see if it works in the game. You have to. And I think sometimes he's doing that and he sees results. He sees it going in sometimes, and sometimes You know, when they were blowing out the Hawks one game, and I noticed he was downhill. They were up 25.
And
he
then
settled for that 3-point shot to see where he is with it, because that's the time to work on it. And I feel like sometimes you have to work on that shot. So in the heat of battle, when you need a bucket, you go to what works. But at some point, you know, I'm going to use this story with John Collins. We were working on his 3-point shot. We were working on a jump hook with the left hand. And I said, it's great in practice, but you have to use it in the real game, mm-hmm. in real time against some of the best players before you can feel comfortable using it. So, you know, that's what you get sometimes.
I know that technically VC is now my colleague and we're like all in this together, but it is so dope to say something. And then you, this man who's excellent, come and confirm what I had to say in terms of Giannis making himself limited. It is a little bit puzzling. All right, but let's get into this series as it stands. VC, and we've been going with this question all morning. In terms of legacy, which side of the coin, who needs this more, Chris Paul or Giannis?
It's such a tough question. And when you're talking about legacy, I'll say this about Giannis. Giannis has time. And if they can keep this team together, you could see them potentially in the finals often, or at least in the conference finals. Of course, I think Chris Paul has established himself, you know, as far as a legacy is concerned. This is just adding to it. This is icing on the cake, in my opinion. You know, now you have some of the greats of the game who didn't win a championship or didn't make it to the finals and are in the Hall of Fame. Chris Paul will be in the Hall of Fame, but Chris Paul is year 16. He's the old guy, so of course I'm gonna have to lean that way and say, you know, he's closer to walking away from the game than Giannis is. So of course Chris Paul would want and need this a little more than Giannis right now.
See, that's a great way to put it. It's the window, right? That's mm-hmm. how we always talk about is, or runway. Yeah. What's how much runway you have left?
Trust me, I'm with you on that one.
Man, I didn't want to say it, BC, but all right. I mean, you did bring it up, so fine. But how about react to something, though, because you know how we always do this, too, about players mm-hmm. and about their team, especially when you get this far. It's like he's the heart and soul of the team, right? And you generally, it's always your best player is sort of your leader. That's always the way it's supposed to be. But with the Bucks, we're kind of learning that they're probably more team than we thought, even with a two-time MVP, even with a guy like Giannis and all his accolades. Jrue Holiday said this. He said that Giannis is the soul of the team. Chris Middleton is the heart of the team. Can you have it that way? Can you have one guy represent one thing and one guy represent the other? And is that what the Bucks are to you?
Well, I played on the team with Jason Kidd, and Jason Kidd was our leader, but he led by example. He wasn't our vocal leader. I was kind of the one who, you know, I learned who Jason Kidd was and what he meant. Of course, when he stepped into a huddle and he had something to say, everybody was like, oh, man, he's yelling, he's talking, let's listen. He led by example. Steve Nash led by example. I think Giannis is one of those guys who leads by example. I think another guy who I consider the heart and soul of the team and keeps them afloat is Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis brings what they need for them, and that energy when they're slow and they're in mud. I call them the battery pack for a reason. They inserted him, and look at what happened to that team. He brought life to that team, and he brought life to a team that was already darn good, and he made them better, and it made it tough for the Hawks to beat them, even with Trae Young back.
So look, here's the question now, VC, because
okay.
When Chris Paul came back after game two, we saw a little sputtering, shall we call it, by the Phoenix Suns, mm-hmm. just kind of mm-hmm. acclimating to Chris Paul back on the floor in this particular series. Giannis, obviously, this Bucks squad is probably better with Giannis on the floor, big picture. But is it going to be more valuable, I guess, if he can play game one, or does he need to get a feel for the series and kind of be able to pick his spots from an observer standpoint when he gets reinserted? Because there's no doubt going to be a little bit of, okay, is Drew and Middleton still the 1A, 1B? Now we got to get Giannis back in.
But, okay, I when you're playing for in the finals. Mm-hmm. So if they can get Giannis back, you want Giannis on the floor. He demands attention regardless of where he is with his health. At the same time, I'm telling Jrue Holiday, I'm telling Chris Middleton for sure, and then my bigs. I need the same game from you. Because you want Giannis to take his time. Maybe you don't play him as many minutes early so he can get himself back into game shape and playing shape, because he's been away from the game for a while now, Giannis, that is. So I want my four guys, and that's Holiday, Middleton, and both my bigs and Portis and Lopez, to stay aggressive and let Giannis work his way back. The one thing for Giannis that is great is if he doesn't settle, he plays in the paint. So it's a little easy. You go down there, post up, and you feature him. But I still want Lopez right here, what we're seeing in this video right here. I want him in the paint. I want Bobby Portis in the paint, knocking guys out, getting me in the penalty so Middleton can be aggressive and drive and knock down shots.
I love that. I think that's going to be such a critical matchup. And, you know, that's exactly – like Lopez has to be that floor spacer to allow Giannis to have that room in the paint. But when he's not out there – you know, Brooke, when he played for the Nets, was one of the best, you know, footwork in the post big man that we had left in the game.
And he was my rookie, by the way. I mean, probably every guy that I played with was probably my rookie or close to it. Mark, I knew you were about to say that, so I beat you to it. I knew you were about to say that.
I love you.
It's okay. I can accept it. But that's the thing. So I agree. You have to post Giannis, and you have to utilize his ability to score. Yes, so you spread the floor out. But when Giannis goes out, I'm throwing him, Brook Lopez that is, I'm throwing him in the post, and I'm remaining aggressive and attacking the paint. Yes, now you spread Bobby Portis out there. Yes, he can shoot the ball, and he's going to rebound. You don't post up Bobby Portis as much. You get the mismatches, yes, but 1A and 1B as far as posting up. Giannis is my go-to guy early, and then when you take him out, Brook Lopez, your turn. Continue to beat these guys up in the paint.
All right, we're doing a deep dive tomorrow in the series, but somebody just tweeted, and I feel this. They're like, how y'all doing the show and nobody's mentioned Ayton? Let me just be clear. Monica McNutt is team DeAndre Ayton, heavy, heavy, heavy. So real quick, VC.
He's been great.
All right, talk to me about his evolution and what this matchup looks like for him, because there's a world in which, obviously, the Lopez matchup, but there's a world in which he's also going to have to deal with Giannis, too.
Giannis, yes. He's going to have to defend. And you know, Giannis is used to seeing bigger guys, but Ayton is a guy that has been playing great basketball, and he's going to put a lot of pressure on the Bucks defense as well, because they're going to have to guard him. They're going to have to guard the lob, kind of like what they had to do with John Collins and Capella, you know. So, and he runs the floor extremely well. So if you don't get back in transition, and if you're settling for jump shots, you're letting them off the hook. And once the Suns get in transition, it's a lot of options that they have. So look for Ayton. I did a breakdown with this a couple of days ago. Look for Ayton to set a lot of screens, getting mismatches on the Drew Holidays and Middletons, and feature him in the post a little more there, and him hitting the glass. He has to hit the offensive glass, getting them extra possessions.
Yeah, certainly something there to watch, no doubt about it. Vince Carter joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Before I ask you to pick somebody in this series, though, I do want to give you a minute. We got to make picks.
Oh,
I
want
to give
already,
but I want to give you a minute though, because you know your last team was the Atlanta Hawks. The run that they had here all the way up, and then you know Trae Young's injury really obviously took so much out of that offense. But just what you saw out of that team, some of them maybe what were your rooks, but still, like this group that you saw last year, and where they were there to where they are now.
It's just you know, obviously it was a new voice. Nate McMillan brought a new voice in a different aspect to that locker room, and they all bought in. And once Trae figured out how to be the star and scorer that he is and facilitated and get his other guys involved, they took off, and all of these players, these young guys, evolved. And that's a testament to Coach Nate McMillan, but to Trae Young as well, just saying, okay, taking the coaching, understanding you know, that Nate – saw a bigger picture for this team. I don't think, I mean, any of us can say, wow, I knew they had a pretty good team, but Eastern Conference Finals, knocking out the 76ers? Okay, maybe the Knicks. Okay, cool. Knocking out the 76ers, taking the Bucks to six? Who knew? But they were confident, and maybe they were just too young to know that they're not supposed to play this well this early. But like I said, they all bought in, and once they bought in, they took off, and they were a great basketball team.
Did you see something different in Trae just in general? Like there were stories, and you would know you were in that locker room. There were stories that there was some friction with him and teammates. He shot the ball a lot. Some guys didn't like that, didn't feel comfortable with the offense, anything like
that. I heard
that. Was there a change in him that you saw that's different from what you might have seen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. His approach in the games early, understanding how to facilitate, how to get other guys involved for him to be that type of player. If he wants to take those shots, the game was easier for him in the second half or the fourth quarter because he had guys like Bogdanovich, Herter, John Collins. He had other guys shooting the ball, spreading the floor for him, making the game easier for him. And once he understood that, he's like, wait a minute, I can get 6-7 assists in the first half or three quarters and then be me in the fourth quarter, seeing late double teams, but maybe single coverage because my shooters are shooting and they have to stay home. Oh, okay. And he figured that out. And then they took off. I mean, I really think that's what the key was him just understanding how to manage the game.
It's amazing how your teammates love you more when you realize that if you use them early on, and then I'll take all the shots later. They're like, yeah, go ahead, take all the shots later.
And they're prepared.
I'm full
now. But they're prepared. Now they understand how the game is played, and they want to make the game easier for Trey now because he's made the game easier for them early. And that's one thing I learned early in my game. So we used to have this conversation and argue all the time about that. I said, hey, make the game easier for them. Because later on in the game, when the star needs to be the star, they now have made the game easier for you, and you can make or be the star that you are. And he gets it now.
It's a great transition.
Street.
Yeah, a great transition to see, obviously,
100%.
In that player, no doubt about that. All right, real quick, VC, you got a pick on this series?
Well, all right, let me think. Spidey senses, Spidey senses. Okay. No, I don't. No, I don't. But I think if Giannis is back, you know, with the Bucks, without Giannis right now, you're going to see a very good series. With Giannis, he's the X factor because if he is aggressive and he gets downhill, he puts pressure on his team, and Drew Holiday and PJ Tucker, who we have not talked about, they defend and can slow down Chris Paul and Booker. They can hold up that trophy.
Yeah.
I guess that means I'm saying the Bucks.
Yeah.
Monica, come on. What you got?
You're saying the
Don't
Bucks.
Don't leave me out here by myself.
I got Phoenix. We got to go to break, but I got Phoenix either way.
Yeah.
Come on tomorrow so we can talk about it some more.
The caveat, though, obviously being the injury to Giannis and see where he is. Vince, always great to talk to 100%. You, man. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Take care.
It's Vince Carter, ESPN NBA analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. So coming up next, a little more on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Is it time they just stop fighting? If we figure this out, what they shouldn't do is trade him. But what should he do in this situation? We'll discuss that next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Spoke to a team source who said the Packers have engaged with Aaron Rodgers and his representatives, and they will continue to try to do so.
We want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that. We'll continue to work at it each and every day.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Now, Swaggo didn't need to go there on Darren Orlovsky, but we all have different takes on all different things, and of course, we like to bring in other experts to have takes with us, and why not go to Denver? Mark Slareth, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, a three-time Super Bowl champion and host of Slareth and Evans on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Good morning. I got to ask you a question about something that a Captain Obvious said, and that Captain Obvious is Jake Plummer. He said Aaron Rodgers would turn the Broncos into an instant contender. Is that Captain Obvious, or is that a hot take?
Well, I mean, there's only, you know, I always say this about the quarterback position in football, is there's only about three guys, maybe four guys, who are truly unicorns, who cover or mask warts. The other guys expose them. And, you know, we tend to think that every franchise quarterback is going to cover a bunch of warts, and it's just not true. There's only a few guys that elevate everybody's performance that way. And Aaron Rodgers certainly one of those guys that can cover those warts, that can elevate everybody else's performance. But, again, there's only a handful of those guys that operate in the National Football League. And we tend to have this narrative that, oh, if you just have a franchise quarterback, you're going to be fine. And that's not the case. You've got to have a really good football team for most guys. So Aaron Rodgers is one of the few guys that I think would elevate the roster in Denver to the point where it could compete in the AFC for a crown. Now, they still have to get through the toughest team in their division, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done, but at least you would be in the conversation.
Now, I need you to either tell me I'm right or wrong here, and I hope you say I'm right. But I had a rant a little bit earlier in the show just about that situation in Green Bay. And you, from the player perspective, or from your experience as both a guy who would be in the locker room dealing with this, or also maybe somebody that would have to deal with this, I feel like everybody's wrong when it comes to Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's a good guy in this whole thing. And it's maddening to me that it's gone even this far. The franchise shouldn't trade him, but I also understand why Aaron Rodgers has the take he has. It's been handled poorly. The whole relationship thing should have been fixed years ago when they saw it going south, and it was handled poorly. I think everybody's the bad guy here, and if I'm a fan, I'd be livid. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'd be livid as well. You know, it's interesting to me because we want our athletes to be human. We want them to be real. We want them to be honest until they're real, until they're human, until they're honest, and then we're pissed at them, right? And yeah. It's always funny to me as a former player. You know, I used to hear this all the time, like, "Hey, man, the field's a sanctuary. I can get away from my problems." Man, the field exacerbates my problems. I want my life to be in perfect unison. I want my home life to be good. I want everything to be good so I can perform at peak efficiency. And, you know, when we show our human side, when we get hurt feelings, when things don't go the way we expect them to, you know, fans are upset about it. You know, organizations are upset about it. Here's my biggest issue, you know, and there's a lot of things. There's a myriad of different things that have gone on in regards to Aaron Rodgers. You know, people just think it's, well, they drafted his heir apparent. Well, it's not just that. It's you draft his heir apparent, and then you say, hey, he's totally on board. And he's like, man, I had no idea this was going down, right? There's all kinds of little things. And as little things stack one on top of another, they become a very big thing. And I think that's the real issue here, is the lack of communication or what is perceived as just being dishonest. If you're going to bring a player in and say, hey, man, you've earned the right because of your status and because of what you have done, you've earned the right to have an opinion on what we do, and we're going to solicit your opinion, and then you solicit the opinion and you go the exact opposite way of what the guy says, eventually it irritates you, it pisses you off. And I think the biggest thing for me as an organization or as a franchise is that's the position you find yourself in. And as a player, we are always going to side in a locker room with the player. Like, we're always going to look at the player situation and say, man, that, you know, you can't do that. And we understand that certain guys are elevated. Certain guys have a little bit more leeway than other guys. Certain guys are going to be leaned on more. And Aaron is certainly one of those guys. And for you in the locker room, I mean, that's one of those things. You're like, really? You're going to do that to him? You'll do it to every single one of us.
You know, Schlereth, it's interesting because at every level of sports, right, relationships are this bottom line thing that just can't be escaped, whether you're talking about one of the elite quarterbacks in the league or the last guy on the roster. And so that's what continues to echo through this situation. But we talk so much about the Packers side of this thing. Let's go back to the Broncos side of this thing. You've got an organization sort of kind of in purgatory. I know we prepare as if this thing isn't going to go down. But the one thing that Plummer talked about in that article, he talked about the position that it then puts Bridgewater and Lock in. Just take me inside of what it might be like over on that side of this.
Yeah, well, I think if you're Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, and you're Drew Luck, and you don't know that if Aaron Rodgers walks into the building, he instantly becomes the starting quarterback, then you're living in fantasy land. You know, I think as players we all understand kind of our lot in life, and you understand when a guy like that comes in, you just move aside and you learn whatever you can learn from that guy. And, you know, it's not that you don't want to compete. It's not that you're not going to try to compete, but you just know the reality of the situation. And I think most, you know, it's funny. I think that most guys are okay with that. Most people are okay with competing. Most people understand who the better players are, right, that they're going to get the opportunity to play. And so if you're in Denver and you're Drew Luck, yeah, would you be disappointed that you're not going to compete? Yeah, but what can you learn from it? And you're 100% right about the relationship aspect of this. You know, I say this all the time, regardless if it's radio, whether it's television, my career in television, my career in radio, you know, my green chili company, just the different things that I have going on right now in life. You're in the relationship business or you're going out of business. And I don't care what business you're in. And if you're not in the relationship business and growing those relationships and taking care of people, you know, and it's not always going to be, you know, it's not always going to be perfect. But if you're not doing that, then you're going to struggle. You know, the thing about football that I love is the nature of how you bring 53 guys together and 20 coaches together and all that stuff. And it's hard to do. And if you're not really into it for the team, if you're not willing to sacrifice, if you're not willing to do the hard things, then I don't care how much talent you have, you'll never be good. And so the relational aspect of the game, of any game, becomes the most significant part to me. Yeah, you got to have talent. Everybody's got talent. But it's about how you put that talent together and how you really serve one another. And that's what makes championship organizations. So for Denver, I really believe that he walks through the door and those two quarterbacks go, yeah, we get it. And everybody else in the locker room goes, yeah, we get it. Yeah, he's Aaron freaking Rodgers.
And in the meantime, though, they are sort of the guys, like Monica mentioned, they're kind of in limbo right now at that position. So with that in mind, you know, you trade for a Teddy Bridgewater, and boy, you know, since his injury, how he's sort of now trying to prove that he can still play. I think he certainly can play, but what is he? And then you have Drew Lock, who is somebody you thought was going to be the future for them. So this quarterback competition that they're going to start in 22 days, who's got the edge and who would you expect to be QB1 in week one?
Well, I would expect Teddy Bridgewater to win that job, and there's several reasons. I mean, I think you look at Vic Fangio, he's never won a game in September. So if you don't get off to a fast start, if you don't have, you know, consistency from that position, you're going to get fired anyhow. So, you know, coaches love veteran players. The young players, you know, we used to say it all the time when I was playing in Denver, young players will get you fired. And you know, they just don't know. There's still that learning curve that they're going through. So I think that you look at just the tea leaves, they've invested in their defense. You know, they get Von Miller back. Bradley Chubb should be now a year removed from that ACL. He should be healthy and full go. He went to the Pro Bowl last year. In the first 5 or 6 weeks, he wasn't nearly the player he was toward the end of the season. So you would expect him to kind of start off where he ended last year. Von Miller back from that injury. They invested in that defensive secondary. You look at that defensive secondary, not only in the draft, but what they did with Ronald Darby, what they did with Will Fuller. They've got a chance to be really good in that back end. And if you're a coach, you're like, hey, man, our back end is really good. Our defense should be really outstanding. We just need a guy not to turn it over and to make sure that, you know, that he operates the game the way it should be operated. And I think that's Teddy Bridgewater. I still think that Drew Lock has upside, but he has got to learn how to play at the NFL level. And, you know, he comes out of college where they're a complete spread football team. Like, I talked to him about it as I was doing a game for Fox. He's like, man, I never talked one time about protections. We ran two-man routes, seven-man protections, and we said, let's go. Yeah. And he goes, so I've got to learn protections. I've got to understand where my hots are, how to re-identify a mic, to do all the things that we have to do. And you can see it in his game. When you study film, how many times he gets spooked out of the pocket because he doesn't realize the back is coming across the formation to pick up a linebacker that looks like he's not picked up. So there's a lot of little things in football that he doesn't get.
Oh, it's the classic example of a guy who needed time to just, you know, hold the clipboard and learn a little bit, and that just he was just forced into playing. And, you know, what you were describing is they need a game manager, and, of course, that really is what Teddy Bridgewater has become. We got to leave it right there, Mark. Hey, great perspective as always. Good to talk to you. All the best.
Likewise, all the best to you guys.
All right, Mark Schlereth again on the Goodyear Hotline. That was terrific stuff, by the way, about the quarterback competition in Denver. As a something to watch, is maybe they're just space holders until a potential Aaron Rodgers trade, but that still remains to be seen. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, coming up next, you know what it is. Call a roulette, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You got a hot take, you got a question, now is your chance. We'll get to that after Monica has this from O'Reilly.
Super Start batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Super Start battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. What else is more? Scooter? Maybe if you got an electric scooter.
Vespa.
Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Get to call the roulette. Let's do this, Monica.
Real quick, what? Jason Fitz. Yes. I know you're listening. I think you're listening because Jason Fitz just texted me and said, let me know when he should tune in to hear. Fitz was right and I was wrong. Bucks and six. Laughing, crying emoji and a heart. You're not going to hear that, Jason Fitz. Bomp. So that was your shout out.
Kind of just did.
Only because I read your text message. I will not say that. No.
So stubborn.
Very.
But he was right.
Whatever. No.
You want to spin the wheel for me?
Let's go. Spin the wheel.
Line three. Oh, mysterious pocket.
Wow. Ball. That's what happens the day after the holidays.
Spin it!
The kind of calls you get.
He was just passed out somewhere like, man, those fireworks were great. Line six. You know, like, bucks and six.
Hi.
Hey.
Et tu, Brute? Sorry, caller.
Why haven't we got? Go ahead. Sorry.
Why haven't we gotten rid of collective bargaining and put a hard salary cap per athlete and keep the millionaires, make them rich? I don't care, but it affects our economy, and nobody says anything.
Well, nobody says anything. Hold up. I need you to explain what nobody's saying anything about. So you get rid of collective bargaining, which is again antitrust. You can't do that.
Okay.
Right, because you have there are unions in this.
I'm not
country.
Saying that there shouldn't be a union and a collective bargaining.
Well, you just said to get rid of it. So I didn't get that one. All right, so what's the next thing that's affecting our economy?
Negotiating. Hear me out just a second, please. Everybody wants to be the highest paid player in the league.
That's,
everybody.
That's
in
how,
all sports. They all want to be the highest
paid
player.
That's how it works in capitalism.
We need to stop that. If this is a business, why aren't the owners, which I don't understand – you fire the highest paid guy and get somebody else to replace him. okay? You have open tryouts. You start over. You've got a million college athletes that would love to play for $2 million a year.
Yeah, and you've got millions of fans. I'll let
nobody
you go
gets
here.
Paid.
No, I'll let you go here. Because nobody wants to see that. You want to see stars. That's how you get fans in the building, the best of the best, and the best want to get paid. That's how it works. Like we're not in a country where salaries are controlled and the business is controlled, and it doesn't work that way. I know you don't like it. It's not comfortable to see somebody make $40 million a year, and you know, but that's just life. I mean, that's where we are. That's the country we live in.
Listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but that call, if I may meme the moment, that call is one of these.
Yeah, he was just frustrated, and I let him get his frustration out, but I had to explain to him where we live.
Don't know about that.
How about we spin it?
Spin it!
That kind of day, Monica.
Day after a holiday, baby.
Line four.
5th of July.
Hey, I was kind of nervous my first time on the show, but after that last call, I don't think I'm nervous anymore. I can't be that bad.
No, you're good.
I wanted to shout out the Vikings. I'm a huge Vikings fan from New Jersey. With the whole Aaron Rodgers things going on, we have a really great chance to win the division,
yes.
But how far do you guys think they can get in the playoffs realistically, make a run with that defense being revamped?
Yeah, the defense. Well, I mean, the NFC, I mean, again, if you were in the AFC, I'd probably give you more of a chance. But in the NFC, I mean, you're
Cousins.
Yeah, and then you go with Kirk Cousins.
You like that?
Yeah.
I'm a DC.
Is this the last year for Kirk Cousins, would you say? I mean, is it time?
I mean, I'll tell you
what. When does it pay off? I mean, when you look at that division, if there's no Aaron Rodgers, the door is open.
I was just about to say that. This will be the payoff year. You like that? Oh, my God.
You like that?
You like that this year?
You like that?
Make the most of this moment, or the seat gets hot, that you bet on yourself. That's cute, but that's a wrap.
Yeah, you kind of feel like it's like
it's do or die.
It's course. Talk about a guy that got a lot of money.
Coins, bags.
Yeah, that's one by that previous caller. I kind of feel you on that one. But, hey, he played the system, and he played it well.
Yeah, he did.
No doubt about that. He played the Jets, too, by the way.
Hey,
spin
hey,
it!
Hey.
Not that I'm upset about it.
Listen.
Line one.
Corey from New York. I got two quick questions quick. Does Becky Hammon deserve a coaching job? And what's the most overrated grilling barbecue food that you can think of?
Ooh,
cookout food.
Overrated cookout food.
Overrated?
Yeah, Becky Hammon, yes. Plenty of experience, has put in the time, resume is there, absolutely deserves. Will she get one? That's another question.
I echo that sentiment, but I also think we do this thing where we have months where we celebrate diversity. We just came off of Pride Month, Black History Month, Women's History Month, whatever. And we think that we are traveling at a rate of 60 miles per hour when it comes to these things. And in reality, we're still back at around 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yes, we're making progress, but I don't think that it's happening as fast as people would like to believe. I believe that it's going to require players throwing their weight behind Becky Hammon to get this done. In the same way we saw Dame request Jason Kidd, even though that didn't pan out. Overrated grilling food?
Hmm. You got something?
I like everything on the grill.
Grill, right? What do you got, Pat? You got one?
The obvious answer is bratwurst. It's terrible.
What?
I don't know how
I can no longer do this show with Pat Costello anymore. Absolutely not.
It's terrible.
I don't even know you.
You need to get better bratwurst. You need a better grill.
Terrible.
Like, what's wrong with you?
I mean, that's the whole idea. Boil, grill it, throw it on the bun.
You can skip the boil in my world. Just put it on the grill.
But you
kind
of pre-cook it, throw it on the grill, get a little bit of
I just need a grill.
How is it? What are you talking about?
Maybe we should
end the show with this. Yeah, jump in here and fix this.
Can't trust boy. I don't know, man. That's a bad job.
He says he's from Philly. I don't even know anymore.
Your brat had a bad seasoning. You got to get the right ones.
Overrated? Brats?
What's wrong with you, Pat?
How dare I don't even know. You know what? Can we even have a show tomorrow? We might need it.
I'm not coming.
I need a 20.
I can't.
I think we got to take a break. We need a 20.
No.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.